All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Hopping into all things Trump administration. That's all we got. The truth is all being exposed right out of Matthew chapter 26. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. It is all being revealed. It is all being exposed and or burned to the ground, which is great, like USAID. All right, let me say hey to everybody in the chat here. All right, going from bottom to top on my screen. Peg Joe's on. Joanne's is on. Tim L. T-Bird. Buckeye 1968. 509. 25 McDonald. Mike Griffith. Just Fact. Nate Dad 1, Why Not Me, John Phillips, Supergirl 21, Styles, B36 is on, let me see here, Peg Joe's on, Just Fact, Richard Perry 49, Gritterdom, Rasputin, Freedom Fighter, Wisconsin Honey Badger is on, Veronica 18201 is on, Lady Boo is on, let me see here, keep going here, PD Frank 1974 is on, Judy Anita is on, USA Abbey Girl is on, Diana 91263 is on. Alf Akers is on. Horror Hotel is on. K4 VMS is on. The one and only Big Jim Go Blue. He is on. Sheila K is on. Rafa 9821. Charlie 340. Stefatom Sexy Pony is on. Naz Yeager's on. Order in the Court is on. Let me see. Gritterdom is on. Uncle Wally's on. Milwaukee James is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Seriously do. Man, look at all these people hogging on here. Love you guys. Appreciate you. All right, let's hop right to this. Excuse me. I know that most of the headlines right now are about USAID. We'll get to that in just a minute. I don't want to forget about this part. Brett and I were talking about this right before the show. It's amazing how quickly these various stories disappear from the headlines. He's talking about like the Trump... the bombing right in front of the explosion in front of the Trump Hotel. It just disappeared. Nobody's talking about it anymore. We really don't know much about it. And, what's happening with the investigation, nothing. But it's not really our fault. It's one giant story after another. And once Trump took office, it's almost impossible to keep up with a man who's up 21 hours a day. I mean, seriously, he sleeps like 3 hours a night. Drinks like 14 Diet Cokes a day. He drinks, according to, I'm trying to remember who it was, that was on Joe Rogan talking about Donald Trump. He drinks no water. It's just great. I love that guy. But anyway, so it's tough to keep up with everything. We're going to go through every major story. I had a whole stack of extra stuff that I brought. I don't even know why I put it in there. I mean, I literally put half of what I brought to the show into the show because I just basically made a section of the show entitled "It's All Being Exposed." All right, so let's hop right into that. And I got nothing else. I want to do the DNC meeting. The DNC is having a meeting, and they want to, the guy just is no longer like the DNC, not the DNC head, but whatever. The guy who's actually running something to do at the DNC wants Kamala Harris to run again. All they're doing is DUI stuff. They picked David Hogg as their associate chairman for the DNC. It's great. I mean, it's just great. All they're doing is trying to do the exact same things over and over again, right? The very definition of insanity, doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. I love it. You should see the DEI. Like, Tom, you didn't put it in the show. Stop talking about it. I know. Look it up yourself. Maybe I'll get to it tomorrow. I don't know. It might be too old of news. With Trump, it'll be probably buried in a whole nother bunch of headlines. And you need to, if you want to have fun and you have no life like me, you need to do what I did today and just go to the left side of Twitter and look at all the Democratic congressmen and women like Ilhan Omar responding to Donald Trump right now. It's pure entertainment. I just send them emojis of Trump dancing. I know you're like, Tom, you're pathetic. I know that. I'm just telling you, it's fun. It really is. All right, let's get to it now. I don't want to forget about this story about the FAA more than anything, not necessarily specific to the crashes, but about the FAA. Interesting numbers here. The older millennial video. So now we know it. It was DEI policies that caused the shortage. Now, does it mean that it caused the crash? Well, a shortage was definitely a contributing factor to the Washington, D.C. crash at Reagan National because you had one traffic controller doing the job of two. So it definitely was a contributing factor, as well as it appears to be extreme pilot error on the part of the helicopter pilot or pilots who are also short a co-pilot's position, a supervisory position on that flight. But anyway, older millennial video, play for me, Brent.
So we now know that DEI policies are responsible for the FAA not having air traffic controllers, as they rejected more than 3,000 applicants who scored 100% on the assessment. This according to a lawsuit filed by Mountain State Legal. According to that lawsuit, over the last 3 years under the Biden administration, there have been more than 3,000 air traffic controllers who have applied to work for the FAA and scored 100% on the assessment. That means these people came in, took the test, didn't get a single thing wrong. They were the most qualified you could be. However, under the Biden administration's FAA DEI policies, they also had to take a second test called biographical data, where basically you're just listing your family's racial history. And based on the scores on that test, which again is just laying out your family's racial diversity, 3,000 of the people that scored perfect on the assessment weren't hired. They weren't hired because they weren't diverse enough. They weren't hired because they were white. More than 3,000 of the most highly qualified air traffic controllers you could have. And they weren't hired because they didn't have enough diversity in their family history.
Now understand, that's 3,000 in 4 years. 3,000 in 4 years. This is, you know, basically 750 a year, something along those lines, are not being hired. Let's all be honest. Can we be honest, Aaron?
Yeah.
Can we be honest,
yeah.
Brent?
Yeah.
Why weren't they hired?
Because they were white.
There you go.
You beat me to it.
Yeah, Aaron said it first. Brent, fail. No wonder you drive an electric car. I mean, that's the whole thing. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I've been mean to him lately. I made him take his hat off in church yesterday and expose his great hair and everything else. But anyway, no, the reason why they weren't hired is because they were white. What if they were the best? These are now, it doesn't say that these are just the people that scored 100% on the test. 100% on the test. But then somehow or another failed the biographical test, which is simply, who do you love and what's your race and how do you identify? That's it. You identify as male, female, trans, binary, non-binary, whatever it may be, spirit, animal, whatever it is. And instead of hiring very qualified white people, they are hiring people with extreme mental deficiencies. That's what was happening. Because part of the biographical would be, do you suffer with extreme mental deficiencies? Are you this phobic or that phobic, whatever it may be? Agoraphobic, whatever it is. You know what? If you're dangerously scared of clowns, you will qualify over the person. If you're dangerously scared of clowns, I think that's agoraphobia. I think it's, or is that when you're afraid to leave the house? Whatever it is. So if you're dangerously scared of clowns, you qualify better than a white person who scored 100% of the test. Say you scored, you know, barely passing, like 64%, 70%, whatever it may be. But yet you got a hundo because you are non-binary or agoraphobic. And then you're the one now that gets the job over the most qualified person. And now all of this, of course, is coming to an end over the next, well, it's over now already, and we can enjoy it for at least the next 4 years, where now these 3,000 people who scored 100% on the test, we know basically these are all, we all know they're either white or Asian. Because the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, the Democratic Party, hate Asians, and they hate white people, except, of course, if they themselves are white, and they have a predominant position that they will not give up on the altar of DUI, of DUI, DEI. There you go. All right, so let's go. I just have to show you this, guys. You can just actually side by side this. Salty goat video. See, say what you want. No chance the pilot didn't see the plane. This is inside of a Blackhawk. You know, again, I don't like to leap into conspiracy theories. I really don't, but I mean, I didn't know that there was windows on top of the thing. I mean, how do you not see that airplane? I mean, if you look at the video we looked at, and like, you know, I made Aaron play it 5,000 times, where you had all this time. I mean, we counted. It was 1,001, 1,002. I mean, it was, I mean, I don't know how long. Plane was, I mean, the helicopter was flying at 353 feet. It's supposed to be at 250. It's supposed to be at 200, correction, 200 feet. How do you not see that airplane? I mean, it could not. It is a burning star. There, you know, I know the talk about they're talking about getting clearance from the tower for visual separation. That means that the pilot of the Black Hawk is saying that I have identified this flight that's closest to me. And they were actually talking about another plane that was taking off. You could see both. I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I really don't get it. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know what happened. There was obvious radio traffic between the Black Hawk and the tower. And then suddenly, the Black Hawk stops answering too. Seconds before, like big seconds. I don't mean 1,001, 1,000 crash. I mean 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005. They stopped answering.
Yeah.
And then boom. I mean, how do you not see that airplane? When you, I mean, basically, you're almost at parallel to it also. It's not like it could be really too much above you. But anyway, I don't know. But I just had to show you that. All right, let's go to the next one. Johnny MAGA tweet. You can just go put it up there. The Trump administration cuts are responsible for Reagan airport crash, the Black Hawk co-pilot. Well, lo and behold, standing right next to Joe Biden. Could it be DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion? Could it be? We don't know yet. We don't know anything. We don't know. I mean, again, I don't know what will be released to us either. As much as can be released, I trust Trump and Pete Seth to release it. But we will see. It's just very, very strange. It's like both assassins that tried to kill Donald Trump are in a BlackRock commercial. And lo and behold, the pilot that, I mean, this really hurts the Trump, one of the pilots, one of the co-pilots. Is this the pilot that was in training? Is she the one who actually had her hand on the control gears? I don't know. We don't know anything. I don't want to falsely accuse anybody. I'm just saying it's very odd. That the one of the pilots was obviously a Biden supporter that flew this helicopter. What are you saying, Tom? I'm not saying anything. I don't know, but we'll continue to look into it. We'll find out. A lot of other things are going to be exposed. They're going to rock this world. If they are actually put out there, if the JFK, RFK, MLK stuff is actually released, and even as Roger Stone has called for, the assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan by Hinckley, Hinckley's family, close personal friends with the Bushes. Hinckley was also at a camp conference with the John Lennon shooter. I mean, it's just too much, folks. I mean, it really is too much. And then you got the pilot of this thing standing there next to Biden. I don't know. Is it just somebody who's so upset Donald Trump got elected that you want to like hurt the military and the FAA? You know, I don't know. But anyway, all right, I'll move on. All right, let's go. Let's go to the USAID. Let me set this up with a Ryan Mata video. Aaron, did you get that S off of this thing? Okay, thank you. USAID is a little bit long. It's about 4 minutes. USAID. And by the way, just so everybody knows, because once again, it's almost like Anthony Fauci was in charge of the NIAID. Okay, that's an infectious diseases. That has nothing to do with aid, helping people. USAID is nothing to do with helping people. It's the United States Agency for International Development. And it's simply a cutout for the CIA. That's all that it does. And just so everybody knows too, like, well, cutout for the CIA. CIA is, you know, is for the, you know, the national security interests of the United States. No, it's not. It's for the financial enhancement of the globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist, including Democratic Party, and also globally. And we need to understand that our world is inverted. Our world is upside down. Our world is disingenuous and absolutely dishonest. So whenever you hear a Democrat say, we can't show you this for national security reasons, it's not for national security reasons. It's to cover up their malfeasance. That's all that it is. They use the words national security as a tool, as a vehicle to cover up their own corruption and malfeasance. They honestly believe that their malfeasance is in the interest of you and I, the national interest of the United States of America. They know that it's not, but they're so convoluted and so demonic, so delusional, that they honestly believe at this point that their own personal financial interest and self-aggrandizement is the interest of the United States of America. And USAID, again, AID does not stand for aid. Agency for International Development. And wait till you see where all this money has gone. They have a 50 $1 billion a year budget. Aaron, has USAID ever showed up to your house and helped you with anything?
No.
Not me neither. No. Brent, you? No. Not me neither. I've never had a USAID person show up and ever help me. You? I think, and Windtalker put this out on Twitter, and I follow her on Twitter. Excellent site on Twitter. That if you are a country that's $37 trillion in debt, you ought not to be helping anybody with money. That's the truth. Why are we giving billions of dollars to other countries for DUI? What does it mean, DUI? DEI.
Kamala.
Kamala. I'm thinking of drunken Kamala. If you're going to do DEI coloring books and transgender coloring books in Peru, which is one of the expenditures of USAID, how is that aiding them in any way, shape, or form? All that is ushering in New World Order is the easiest way to do it, what you always hear on this podcast. What ushering in a one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by the globalists. That's all that it's about. All right, Ryan Mata video. USAID is a terrorist organization, and the work I've done in connection with the Patriots of Guatemala, listen to the Guatemalan part of this, will put their crimes on display. Play it for me.
It was USAID that I fear much more than the CIA, because the USAID is how CIA gets done.
USAID is clearly in the job of trying to bring about regime change. It has secret bank accounts, shell companies.
USAID gets $50 billion a year in U.S. taxpayer money. That's a larger overt fund than the CIA has.
USAID perhaps is the new CIA.
Have we ever tried to meddle in other countries' elections?
Oh, probably.
This is not just about over there. This is about here.
They have a process, a system by which they destroy other nations. And they use that same process and system in order to destroy the United States.
It's a plot against our own people.
America, what if I told you that the United States government was acting like the world's Gestapo, using organizations like USAID under the pretense of humanitarian aid to topple governments, install politicians, and orchestrate regime changes in third world countries?
I disagree with that as somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat.
Yeah.
Not here, but, you know, other places.
These are places that are practically entirely run at this point by the CIA and the U.S. State Department, which is, of course, a CIA front.
USAID provides most of the money.
This isn't a giveaway.
The State Department provides the policy vision.
This makes a difference to people's perception of us. Tricky endeavors, whether it's fighting terrorism,
Al-Shabaab groups in USAID camps,
or narcotics.
Joe Biden's State Department is commanding the Taliban to keep the opium flowing.
Or oppression, or resistance to governance.
Those USAID trucks were stopped at the border to Venezuela with fully automatic weapons.
All of those things.
I don't think that's humanitarian aid.
What a difference that makes.
And if we stand for democracy anywhere, we have to stand for it everywhere, including in Guatemala.
Guatemala, what if I told you that USAID, the State Department, and the CIA created a fraudulent political party and then used that illegitimate party to rig the 2023 Guatemalan election so they could install a list of CIA-controlled politicians who would continue to allow them to run the world's largest child trafficking network out of Guatemala?
Nothing to do with that? Correlation, not causation?
That is absurd.
They didn't deny it, which means that they admitted it.
This is no question, a political shocker in Guatemala.
The U.S. government, the Biden administration, helped cover up voter fraud.
Why Guatemala? Why not some other country?
Guatemala is concerned about child trafficking, the NGOs that are trafficking the children.
Jill Biden was the chairman of the board of Save the Children.
You guys just raided Save the Children.
Guess who stepped in? The State Department, U.S. Embassy, and USAID. Another coincidence?
America. What if I told you that DHS, under the direct orders of Alejandro Mayorkas, would create a public-private partnership with Mexican cartels, and that HHS, under the direct orders of Xavier Becerra, would create a public-private partnership with NGOs like Save the Children and Southwest Key Programs, and in this quasi-public-private partnership, they would use your tax dollars to fund the world's largest international child trafficking operation.
As to whom we know where they are, that is outside the responsibility of the Department of Homeland Security.
It's nothing but lies. Nothing but lies.
Secretary Mayorkas, he acts like none of this ever happens.
It's his policies that caused over half a million of children being smuggled in this country.
And he also knew who to blame.
HHS places those children.
That's on you.
Was that a question to me?
Are you familiar with the sponsors that utilize a strip club as an address?
You shrug your shoulders and then send another batch of kids out to sponsor.
A human trafficking bust at an egg farm. Federal prosecutors call it modern-day slavery.
Of course, we investigate cases of trafficking.
Another lie.
10 seconds.
That's good. Okay. All right, there we go. So just I want to cover it. There's too much to cover in that video. Go to Ryan Mata, and you can probably, there's probably an entire, obviously an entire video you can watch. But anyway, just two things on this. The USAID made sure, let's think about this. This is what you and I pay for, a $53 billion. Their budget, $53 billion, is about seven times the budget of the CIA. You and anybody ever even heard? I know I have because I have no life. But most of us have never heard of USAID. Again, not USAID. Let's USAID like it sounds like we are the world, we are the children. No, no, that's not what this is. They're not out there feeding hungry kids. They're sex trafficking kids. And there's no way to deny this any longer. People like Tony Blinken, Alejandro Mayorkas, Javier Becerra are sex traffickers along with Joe Biden. They are. Whether they know specifically that's what they're doing, they know they are facilitating kids into the wind across the southern border. They know that, along with Catholic Charities and Jewish Charities, NGOs funded by DHS and USAID. So, off of Guatemala for just a second, one little side note. So you think you'd want to shut down the opium crop in Afghanistan, wouldn't you? Because since that's what do they make from that? Heroin, right? You'd think you'd want that shut down, but no, the USAID made sure it stayed open. How can you be righteous? I mean, imagine this too. You had this horde of Democrats today out in front of USAID, including Jamie Raskin and Ilhan Omar, talking about how great they are and how they protect us from terrorism. How do they protect us from terrorism? By keeping the opium crop going in Afghanistan, a country they then yielded to the CCP. And just again, on Guatemala, see, you have a Guatemalan government that's elected that wants to shut down Save the Children, run by Joe Biden. And lo and behold, USAID comes in, overthrows the election. And so you have this new government comes in and shuts down child trafficking or wants to. But instead, they get CIA, which is, again, the USAID, is a cutout for the CIA, although much larger than the CIA. Cut out for both the State Department, which is evil, and the CIA, which is evil. The CIA uses USAID to install CIA operative politicians. Like, okay, well, that has to be for national interest then, right? That has to be for the national security interests of the United States of America. That's what you would think, right? Because the CIA, according to all the movies that we watch, are usually out there fighting for American security and to fend off terrorists. No. What they're there for is to line the pockets of globalist leftist bourgeois elitists. That's it. It has nothing to do with stopping terrorism at all. Then notice how they never do it. And I know that I'm conflating FBI, CIA a little bit here, but you notice how, again, I mean, CIA didn't know about Ryan Routh, a mercenary recruiter out of Ukraine with, well, I can't remember, multitudes, double-digit felony convictions. They had no idea, and he ends up in a golf course. And then of course, the Secret Service agent stands 5 feet away and misses five shots from 5 feet. Amazing how that worked out, isn't it? But anyway, so they replace the Guatemalan government with CIA cutout politicians to reopen Save the Children and install Joe Biden as the chairman. And they reopen the southern border through Guatemala, through the Darien Gap, all the way through our southern border, and send 340,000 kids into oblivion. And Alejandro Mayorkas has no idea where they are. He says, well, I handed them off to you have the DHS, which is Mayorkas. I handed them off to the HHS, which is Becerra, and Becerra has no idea where they are. 340,000 kids in 4 years. Basically 100,000 kids a year. Into the wind, gone. Specifically, a lot of them coming from Guatemala, where you have Joe Biden running Save the Children. Again, it's a world of inversion. When they say save the children, they mean rape the children. That's what they actually mean. When they say democracy, save our democracy. You're a threat to our democracy. It's save our totalitarianism. And you're a threat to our tyranny is what it actually is. All right, Elon Musk video. Here's Caroline Leavitt on some expenditures that USAID has spent our tax dollars on over the last 4 years. Play for me, Brent.
through USAID over the past several years, these are some of the insane priorities that that organization has been spending money on. $1.5 million to advance DEI in Serbia's workplaces, $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap, and I know the American people don't either, and that's exactly what Elon Musk has been tasked by President Trump to do, to get the fraud, waste, and abuse out of our federal government. Thank you, guys.
So there you go. I mean, again, just I don't know about you, but I don't feel real good about tens of thousands of dollars going to a trans coloring book in Peru. Explain to me why that is. Again, and I don't want to go too deep into this because I have such a deep stack, and I want to get to all the things that Trump and Elon have been doing, and I don't want to get locked in too much into USAID because there's a lot of other things that they're doing. But again, you need to understand why they're doing trans, not just be like, I can't stand trans. I can't stand trans either. I'm just telling you, there's a reason why they're doing it. It's because they want every single company on the globe. They want very few companies. They want international conglomerates, why they want six banks in America, and they want international conglomerates that are very easily controlled. And one of the ways that you control companies is you give them a DEI checklist. And if they do not meet, and then you use that checklist to install your own cutouts inside of the company, i.e. make you DEI so you have, whether it's a gay person who works or whether it's a black person, certainly no white people are ever allowed, trans person, whatever else, you get those people who qualify under DEI to be operatives on the boards of these companies. Or you use a false flag DEI sort of requirements on these companies to where you can bar them from trading. You get everybody into CBDC currency, and then you have to qualify to access your own money. And if you do not have enough DEI check marks off of your checklist, then you're disqualified from accessing your money. You're disqualified from loans. And I know that's a very surface level description, but that's what trans is all about. It's got nothing to do with 0.001% of the world. That's trans population. I'm giving him credit for that. I mean, how many of you have ever even run into a trans person? And I mean, really run into, I don't know, I'm exposed to a lot of people, and I was a cop for 25 years, right till 2017, and I've yet to even run into a trans person. And why does the world turn on its head over 0.04% of the atmosphere being carbon, which has been way higher than that before? It's simply a vehicle to usher in totalitarianism, and that's what trans is also. All right, Nick Sorter tweet. Just in, USAID security chiefs attempted to block Elon Musk Doge from accessing classified information during inspection. Then they just flipped the script, and all USAID employees were barred from coming into the building right after that. They just flipped the script. So they barred everybody from coming into the building, doing a deep dive into where all of this money is going. This is actual leadership. Now, the usual Washington, D.C. verbiage, the usual Washington, D.C. modus operandi is, we're going to look into it. We're really going to look to change things over the next 10 years. Example, I'll give you an example. Steve Bannon was talking about this today. They had a bunch of rhinos that met, and they came up with a plan. Get this, Aaron, $37 trillion in debt. They came up with a plan to cut $316 billion off of our debts and deficits. I'm like, wow, that's great. Wow. $316 billion. Okay, remember, $1 trillion is 1,000 billions. Now, that was over a 10-year period of time.
Oh my God.
So as every year, we're $2 trillion. Our debt is $37 trillion. Our deficit is $2 trillion per year. So as over that 10-year period of time, you would have added $20 trillion to the debt, but you will have taken $316 billion off of that. Now $57 trillion.
Wow.
Debt. That's the Republican way. That's the establishment Republican way. This is not establishment. This is actually coming in. You're not trying to cut the rate of growth. You're actually trying to identify where all the money is going and cut spending. Not rate of growth, actually cut spending. Whenever you hear them say, we're cutting spending, outside of the Trump administration, they're cutting a rate of growth somewhere. So instead of the debt growing by an exponential rate of, say, 30% per year, they're going to cut it down to 29.9% per year. So we're actually cutting the debt. That's what they'll say. That's Washington, D.C. speak. It's Washington, D.C. language. So it's always the immigration. Our immigration system is broken. That's what they always say. Okay, then why don't you just shut the border? Is it really broken? It's not broken. That's just D.C. speak. It's D.C. tropes. It means nothing. It means we are not going to do anything because it financially benefits me as a politician to do nothing. That's what it is. I mean, because all these people, what they want is a perpetual fire, a perpetual problem, and they are the fire department. They falsely say they're the fire department, and they'll put the fire out. But what would the fire department have to do if there's never any fires? So they maintenance the problem so that there's always a need for the politician to solve it. Why don't you just solve the problem? Because it won't. Because if you solve the problem, then you might not get reelected and not be able to raise $10 million per election and keep a large portion of that money for yourself through various ways. There's very, very, and I've gone through it a million times, there's various ways to keep campaign contributions to yourself. All you have to do is start an organization, take your leftover campaign money, start an organization, because I'm telling you, this is unrelated to USAID, Tom. No, it's not. No, it's not, because a lot of this money ends up back into the pockets of politicians. That $53 billion per year to the USAID, it ends up back in the pockets of politicians. It's like I've told you before. Who elected Ruben Gallego as senator of Arizona? Really, Planned Parenthood did, because they funneled $50 million to him. And that's tax dollars. We actually, you and I paid for Ruben Gallego, one of the most leftist members of the Senate, to be elected. The money goes back into them. So they want organizations like this to stay around so that money ends up being contributed to organizations. Like, it doesn't go right to a Democratic Party campaign. No, it goes to an NGO who then gives it to a Democratic Party campaign. And the candidate keeps a percentage of that money for themselves by just opening an organization. You just open an organization that's run by your wife and pay her $10 million a year to oversee the money from leftover money from your campaign. That's what Ilhan Omar did. What she did with consultancy, and the same thing Bernie Sanders done to make himself a multimillionaire. He says, "I wrote a best selling book." No, his wife has made millions of dollars selling his campaign ads. So anyway, so they didn't let Ilhan in at the beginning. Well, you know what? They all got kicked out, and then they weren't allowed in. This is what you do. All right, let's go to the next one. Post-millennial video. Trump says USAID has been run by a bunch of radical lunatics. Play for me.
USAID, or what's going on?
It's been run by a bunch of radical lunatics, and we're getting them out. USAID, run by radical lunatics, and we're getting them out, and then we'll make a decision.
He's exactly right. And this is actually the example that Stephen Miller used when he was talking to Jake Tapper. He used the AID. USAID as an example, where he said most of the establishment government, the deep, what you and I call the deep state, the DC cocktail circuit, is made up of leftists that contribute to leftist organizations and leftist candidates. He actually used the USAID as an example, where 98% of their employees contributed to Kamala Harris or other Democratic Party candidates and didn't contribute at all to Republican candidates. That's who the USAID is. It's simply a leftist organization. It's got nothing to do with government. All the Democratic Party politicians are up there right now saying this was established by Congress. You can't cut it down. Yeah, you can, because it's under the executive branch. Donald Trump, he doesn't even have to shut down the USAID. He's just cut off. I mean, all he needs to do is just send no money to it. Don't send it out on any missions. Don't send it out to do any jobs internationally. That's all you got to do. And it's over for the USAID. Even if they keep it open, just don't give them any jobs to do. And then work through defunding it totally and completely. All right, Ian Miles Chong video, Mike Benz. USAID is not about aid. It's about coordinating clandestine operations through foreign left-wing, here it is, NGOs with a $50 billion budget. Play for me.
State Department, USAID, and the National Endowment for Democracy. Now, USAID is... a very notorious, it's sort of a switch player. There's no aid in USAID, by the way. That's, your brain is being tricked when you see the phrase USAID. It's not an aid organization. The aid in USAID stands for U.S. Agency for International Development. It is developing internationally around the world all of the institutions that the State Department needs to use. So when they are capacity building activist groups in a foreign country, that's because the State Department wants those activists there. Now, USAID, for the first time in its history, it was created in the early 1960s by JFK, 1961. It was created because you had all of this intelligence, statecraft, and military support and logistical aid that was tripping over itself, basically. The military would be funding, would be running aid to certain groups in the region. The State Department would be running aid to certain groups in the region. The intelligence community would, and there was no sort of central coordinator of those capacity-building operations. So USAID, by the way, is a $50 billion budget. The entirety of the intelligence community is only $72 billion. So it is as more than the CIA and more than the State Department.
Wow.
And aid is basically USAID is effectively a switch player to assist the Pentagon with on the national security front, to assist the State Department on the national interest front, or to assist the intelligence community on a sort of clandestine operations front. So
again, it has nothing to do with aid. It's about coordinating clandestine, Mike Benz, clandestine operations through foreign left wing. Got nothing to do, you notice how it's got nothing to do with our interest? Nothing to do with us. And 98% of the employees of the USAID voted for Kamala Harris. That's absolutely true, put out by Stephen Miller, who's Trump's assistant chief of staff. Assisting Wiles and being Trump's chief of staff. Let's put it out. 98% of their employees voted for Donald Trump. So, and also Aaron and I are looking into this right now. If this was created by JFK via an executive order, then can't it also be extinguished via executive order? Even though Jamie Raskin says that it was created by Congress, we'll have to find out. Maybe it was initiated by JFK and then officially sanctioned somehow by Congress. I don't know. But it was created by JFK via an executive order. Or maybe he ran it. Maybe he created it and then ran it through Congress and it became official. I don't know yet. Aaron has it. It was established by the Foreign Assistance Act, which was signed into law by President John F. Kennedy on November 3rd, 1961. The act reorganized U.S. foreign assistance programs and officially created USAID to administer economic and humanitarian assistance worldwide. So Foreign Assistance Act, which sounds like it is law, so we'll have to go through it. But all you got to do is just disable it. Disable it. Just don't send it on any missions and fire as many people as you can. According to what I'm hearing, Trump's ultimatum about February 6th for all the federal employees that want to stay home and do nothing. Just a side note, just so you know how that's actually working. What these federal employees do is they have to show up once a month to the office. But what they do is come in. Many of them, this is from a family member of ours who lives in D.C. What a lot of these federal employees do, because they have to show up once a month, they actually live out of state. Their office is in Washington, D.C. They live out of district. So they come in like on the 31st of the month and then work the 31st and the 1st of the month and the 1st of the next month, and then that's it. That's what they've been doing for years and years and years and years. And then probably didn't come at all during the COVID times, and that's how they're living right now. But a lot of, from what I'm hearing, is they're expecting between 8 and 10% resignations. I'm hearing that it could be way more than that. So that'd be great. Just hopefully half or more of the USAID employees simply resign. And this is just leverage them out of a job. That's what we need to be doing. Leverage them out of a job over a period of time. All right, here we go. Let's Jim Ferguson video. Explosive. Rand Paul exposes USAID. Now, he's talking to Stephanie Power here. He used to be over the USAID. On a variety of subjects, but listen to her obfuscate. Play for me, Brent.
Ms. Powers, did USAID fund coronavirus research in Wuhan, China?
We did not fund gain-of-function research.
That's not the question. The question is, did you fund coronavirus research in Wuhan, China?
Before my time, there was the PREDICT program with which you're familiar, which ended in China in 2019.
Now, this is a $200 million program, and the GAO has also identified that some of these grants went directly to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where there is a suspicion that the lab leak began that began the pandemic. Has USAID awarded funds to the Academy of Military Medical Sciences in China?
Not to my knowledge, but I'd have to get...
I think the answer is once again yes. GAO has found that there have been subawards of NIH money, as probably as well as USAID money, that went to the Academy of not just medical research, military medical research in China. Now, part of the unknowns here is we can't get the records to look at this. So I've been asking for months and months for records. In September of last year, I wrote Ms. Powers, USAID, a request asking for records from the PREDICT program. These are not classified. These are simply records of scientific research. And we want to read the grants to find out what they were doing and whether the research was dangerous or not. The response I got from your agency was, USAID will not be providing any documents at this time. They're just unwilling to give documents on scientific grant proposal. We're paying for it. They're asking for $745 million more in money, and we get no response. So 2 weeks ago, the ranking member, Risch, myself, and 25 other Republican senators, unfortunately, so far, signed a letter once again. It's still no response. We're not asking for classified information. We're not asking for anything unusual. 20 million people died around the world. You're supposed to be an agency that cares about the death of people around the world. We, you know, talk about starvation and famine, and 20 million people died from a virus, and you won't give us the basic information about what grants you're funding around the world and who you're funding. Should we be funding the Academy of Military Medical Research in China? They're now off limits. But did we fund them? And who was making the decision? You know who ran the PREDICT program? UC Davis. Have you had any conversations with UC Davis about research in China and whether it was advisable?
So again, to set the record straight, first of all, the PREDICT program ended in 2019. We have people...
And yet it goes on in other forms and other names.
That's certainly not USAID program.
Well, you have a program called Emergency Pandemic Threats Program still, don't you?
If I could just finish in response to the first set of allegations, we have provided hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents related to the PREDICT program for the very reason that you say, because we are in...
Not to us.
We are, again, as I know you had an exchange with Secretary Blinken as well, consistent with longstanding practice.
Not going to give them to us.
Responsive to the committees of jurisdiction.
Not going to. You've been consistent in not giving us any
That's
information.
Not true.
But what you're saying is...
We've provided hundreds of pages in response to the Kerry ranking.
To
the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, for example. We've had extensive...
We've been requesting this and gotten none of it. I'm on that committee as well. The thing is what we get...
That goes on for 6 minutes. Excellent video. Look, watch it yourself, Jim Ferguson on Twitter. It's so funny because she says, we provided hundreds of documents. You know, hundreds of documents that explain what we do and don't do. And you're like, where have you sent them? She starts naming committees. He's like, I'm on that committee. And it never showed up at our committee either. She's saying, we're trying to give these documents, just showing our transparency. And he goes, well, where did you send them? And I love too. It's a PREDICT program, and they change it to another name so they can say the PREDICT program is no longer in existence. They just change the name from PREDICT to prediction. That's the government. That's how it all works. It's all disingenuous. It's all lies from evil globalist bourgeois leftist elitists. These are fascist Nazis. Samantha Powell is a globalist Nazi woman. She's a fascist. I mean, she has no accountability whatsoever. These documents that Rand Paul is asking for are not even classified. It's the same thing with the FBI. They refused to give non-classified documents. And Aaron was talking about this during the video. This is to their oversight. I love how these various swamp actors show up to these oversight committees and refuse to give documents, to yield documents to their oversight. That's the point of all of it, is those people on those oversight committees are representing you and me and Brent and Aaron. So so that we're not being abused by these agencies, spending us into $37 trillion worth of debt and launching us into foreign wars where hundreds of thousands of our men and women die. That's what it's about, is oversight. And now it's gotten to be routine where these people say, I cannot give you these documents because, you know the usual diatribe of there's an ongoing investigation. So I can't yield documents to my oversight because there's an ongoing investigation. Or it's a national security situation. Or it's classified. It can't be classified from your oversight. Everybody on oversight has the proper clearances to see everything under the agencies they are overseeing. And yet these people come up and say, I can't say that right now, or I can't yield that information to you because it's classified, or it's an ongoing investigation, or it's not to be consumed by the public. This is your oversight. It absolutely makes no sense. That they always try to talk about, whether it's Washington Post, democracy dies in the darkness. Not responding to oversight is democracy dying in the darkness. And you look at what did USAID, again, United States Agency for International Development, how are they developing anything internationally by funding child trafficking? So we have that on the list. We know that's happened in Guatemala. Funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Isn't it funny how it always comes back to this? They funded the gain-of-function research at Wuhan Institute of Virology. They funded research, not just at the Chinese Academy of Sciences, not just at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, but also at the Academy for Military Science in China. How is that not treason? Did we send money to the Nazis, to the Third Reich's Academy of Military Science in World War II? If you would have done that, you would have hung from a tree or been shot by a firing squad. And yet now, USAID, United States Agency for International Development, sends money to the Academy of Military Science in China, where they are actively trying to create bioweapons specific to race and gender. Yeah, that's what they're doing. Truly amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. All right, let's move on to Ukraine. Big news on Ukraine. Old news for a lot of you, probably, especially if you're like me and you're watching Alex Jones, you're watching Bannon, you're watching Bongino. But just in case anybody missed it, let's set the story up here. Johnny Midnight video. Ukrainian President Zelensky says Ukraine has only received $75 billion of the $177 billion aid. It's all being exposed now. What are they? He's doing? He's getting out in front of it. He's about to be exposed for mass corruption, mass obfuscation of funds. He knows it. And by the way, he's also getting in front of it because what happens is you get an allocation of $1 billion. You're like, that's all going to, when you give a charitable contribution to whatever organization, how much of it actually goes to the purpose of that charity and how much of it goes to pay employees of the charity and pay for advertising for the charity? That's what you always have to find out, right? Well, how much of these billions that went to Ukraine actually went to the front? And say you allocate $1 billion to Ukraine. Well, does that go to, you know, a solar panel company also? Does that go to various Democratic Party globalists? And by the Democratic Party, it's just a subset of the globalist leftist bourgeois elitists meeting at Glasgow, meeting at Davos, meeting in London. There's a subset of that. The Democratic Party is a bunch of insiders, the globalist leftist bourgeois elitists, working as infiltrators in the United States of America to turn our sovereign nation into a globalist state. That's the point of it all. But what happens is this billions of dollars that get allocated go to various funds that then allocate it. They get paid to allocate it. It's almost like the Clinton Foundation, who raised like $36 trillion and they gave away of that $36 million, and then they gave away $5 million, and it cost them $20 million to give away $5 million. That's the point of all of this. So where did all of this money go? Now, he says $177 billion was given in aid. According to Steve Bannon, who would know more than anybody else, it's more like $250 billion. And of the 200, so we're going to say 250 on this show, because I got that from Bannon. Nobody knows better than Bannon. So of the $250 billion that went to Ukraine over the last, when did the war start, right? When Trump left office, right? So what was that? 2021, 2022. Yeah. I think it started in 2022, right? But anyway, 2021, 2022. Of all that money that's gone to them, $250 billion with a B, he says that he only got $75 billion of the 250. I don't know where all this money is. We never received it, according to Volodymyr Zelensky. You have to read this. You have to read the subtitles on the video. It's kind of difficult, but you'll be able to figure out what he's saying. Play for me, Brent.
Дивіться, я коли чую, і раніше чув, і сьогодні ми чуємо від Сполучених Штатів Америки, що Америка дала Україні сотні мільярдів, 177, якщо сказати більш точно. Така звучала точна цифра, яку підтримували або голосував Конгрес, тощо різні організації. Дивіться, я як президент воюючої країни вам говорю, ми отримали більше 75. Тобто 100 мільярдів з цих 177 або 200, говорять навіть деякі люди, ми ніколи не отримували. І це важливо. Бо ми говоримо про конкретні речі, бо ми отримали це не грошима, а зброєю. Ми зброї отримали на 70 з чимось мільярдів. Є навчання, тренування, є додаткові транспорт, є не тільки ціну на зброю, були гуманітарні програми, соціальні тощо. Але коли говорять, що Україна під час війни отримала 200 мільярдів на підтримку армії тощо, це неправда. Я не знаю, де всі ці гроші.
You know, the thing that people don't in this country understand is that the Ukrainian military is selling about half of the arms they get from the United States into international black markets, and they're winding up in some cases with the drug cartels in Latin America. That's a fact. Okay, it's a fact. And you can buy them. And I spoke to someone who did buy some, actually, so I know this is a fact, and they're bragging about it. So they're selling conventional weapons, including weapon systems that are very dangerous and very destabilizing that would make commercial air travel impossible, for example. And so what are they doing with the pathogens in those biolabs? And does the Biden administration have a manifest? Do they know exactly what's in those labs? And will they turn it over to the Trump administration so we can keep track of these things? And the answer is no, actually. The answer is no, I know this.
Wow.
So that's like the scariest thing that's ever happened. I think the Ukraine war has the potential to destabilize the world more than anything that's happened in my lifetime. What the hell? So that's why I'm saying this right now, because I hope this is widely disseminated, because I think it's like the scariest thing I've heard in a long, long time. Mm.
All right, so there you go. Now, did half of that money, half of his $250 billion, were those aren't? Now, he can say with some sort of plausible deniability, although it's really implausible deniability, that this money did not ever show up here. This, like, where was COVID-19 actually created? Probably created in Chapel Hill, North Carolina at the UNC under Ralph Baric, and then transferred to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So you can say that as Fauci can say, you know, it wasn't created at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. You know, it was created by your gain-of-function research, funded research at UNC under Ralph Baric, and then Ralph Baric taught Dr. Lee, the Bat Lady, how to do it and how to hide it. So you see the plausible deniability, where Volodymyr Zelensky can say, we never received it. No, it was sold. A lot of the arms were sold before they ever got to him. Plus, a lot of that money, that $250 billion, was allocated to others. It's just like the Inflation Reduction Act, which was really the Inflation Act, Inflating Inflation Act. Most of that money had nothing, or whether it was the, you know, they didn't call it the green, you know, the Green New Deal, whatever, but most of that money never actually goes to, this is the ultimate example, $7 trillion was spent on COVID, but they can only trace $800 billion. Remember, each trillion is 1,000 billions. Only $800 billion of it can be traced to being actually spent on COVID. But $7 trillion was allocated to COVID. We would only be $30 trillion in debt right now if it wasn't for COVID. So where did all the rest, where did the other $6.2 trillion go over the last 5 years and 15 days to flatten the curve? To various leftist, bourgeois, globalist, elitist initiatives. That's where all this money is going. How do you ever wonder, how do these leftist news sites who have nobody watching them stay funded? How does Pfizer stay funded? Moderna, which was bankrupt prior to COVID, stay funded. And but they had a patented vaccine for COVID-19 prior to the virus, and all they needed was the virus to make billions. So how do these organizations stay funded? Because a lot of this money that's allocated to one thing is diverted to another. And that's what Volodymyr Zelensky's saying, but he's also, of course, a totalitarian dictator himself. Remember, they're fighting for democracy in an authoritarian dictatorship. Amazing how leftists are with that. We're there. They'll just take up any slogan. They're fighting for democracy under a leadership regime that has no opposition party because it's been banned. They banned the Orthodox Church. They banned opposition media and opposition parties and banned elections. But yet we're there fighting for democracy. Slava Ukraine. What a bunch of idiots. What a bunch of idiots. All right, George video breaking. President Trump just announced that we're going to start confiscating rare earth minerals in Ukraine as a security for our money. Play for me.
We're telling Ukraine they have very valuable rare earth. We want what we put up to go in terms of a guarantee. We want a guarantee. We're handing them money hand over fist. We're giving them equipment. European is not keeping up with us. They should equalize. And look, we have an ocean in between. They don't. It's more important for them than it is for us. But they're way below us in terms of money. And they should be paying at least equal. They should really be paying much more than us. But let's say equal to us. And they're billions and billions of dollars below. So we're looking to do a deal with Ukraine where they're going to secure what we're giving them with their rare earth and other things.
So again, why are we even there for one thing? It's a Slavic conflict that's been going on now for centuries. Why are we even there? That's number one. But if we are going to be there, why are we funding this entire war basically ourselves when we're not threatened by it? As Donald Trump says, there's an ocean between us and them. And the people who are right next door to the conflict are sending in nothing. For all intents and purposes, no, well, we're going to give them five antiquated jets that were used in the Vietnam War. And we're sending over $250 billion. And what's Great Britain sending in? Nothing. What's Germany sending in? And they're the ones who are allegedly threatened by Russia. Why are they not sending? If you really felt like you were threatened by Russia, wouldn't you do anything and everything? Why aren't they doing anything and everything? They're not only are they doing not doing anything and everything, they're actually doing nothing. And as with everybody else, you need a security for your money. They have the Azov Battalion. There's only two countries, as I've said a million times on this show, that voted against outlawing Nazism globally. Two at the UN. I don't believe in the UN. Don't believe in WHO. Don't believe we should be a part of any of it. Don't believe we should be a part of NATO or anything else. But if you're going to vote to outlaw anything, you probably ought to vote to outlaw Nazism. Would we all agree on that? Okay, but there's only two countries that did not vote that voted against outlawing Nazism, and that was the Ukraine and the United States of America, and we're sending $250 billion over to the Azov Battalion. And the reason why this war even exists is because of the Azov Battalion always harassing the Russian-speaking Russian-speaking citizens inside of the two breakout provinces. Luhansk and Donetsk, who asked the Russians to invade them just like Crimea. These are Russian-speaking people who identify as their homeland, Russia, asking for Russia, as the citizens of Crimea did, to take them over because they're always being harassed by the Ukrainians, so they want out. That's why this war is there. That's why, have you noticed how there's been no Russian tanks rolling into Kyiv? Have you noticed that? Because they want those two breakout provinces. Which were theirs? Well, Tom's pro-Russian. I'm not pro-anything. It's Slavic conflict. It's got nothing to do with Aaron. Nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with Brent. Nothing to do with you. And yet $250 billion of our money has been spent. It hasn't been spent over there. It's been sent over there. And of that, Volodymyr Zelensky is saying about $77 billion of it has actually shown up there. $75 billion of it has actually shown up there. Because the rest of it was diverted into other bourgeois leftist initiatives. Simple as that. All right, let's switch to the border now. A Wesley Hunt video. Mayorkas, we're not responsible. Play for me.
Time and again, Democrats have reached across the aisle to fix our immigration system.
Want us to work together in a bipartisan manner.
I pushed very hard for a bipartisan agreement.
How can a bill be dead on arrival? They don't even know what solutions are being proposed in terms of addressing the challenges at the border.
We're trying to do everything that we can to make sure that we deal with what's going on at the border. There's bipartisan support.
But there wasn't a serious bipartisan effort to address it.
That bipartisan border security bill, it would have provided more border security.
The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen.
Look at the chaos that's unfolded at the southern border, and they just want Congress to do something about it because what...
First active duty troops have now arrived at the southern border.
For ICE, the agency arresting nearly 300 illegal immigrants on Saturday alone and nearly 1,000 on Sunday.
We're getting an exclusive first-hand look at the latest Trump administration deportation flight from El Paso, Texas to Ecuador.
As that aperture opens, there'll be more arrests nationwide.
But look on your screen because these are the number of arrests and actions that have been taken in just week one.
And Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, says military planes will deport every migrant every day.
Border Patrol agents told us they had zero gotaways. That is the first time in years, Bill.
Wow.
So how far down are the illegal border crossings right now? Trump is 2 weeks exactly into his second term. 93% down. I thought we needed comprehensive border reform, Aaron. Yeah. Isn't that what we're always hearing?
Yeah.
That's just Washington speak for. I'm going to do nothing, but I'm going to say that the border's broken. We need comprehensive border reform. And we're going to, and then they're going to use a cuckboy like James Lankford to come up with their border security bill. Because there's no way to secure the border without a border security bill written by Chuck Schumer and James Cuckboy Lankford out of Oklahoma. There's no way until Trump comes in and secures the border in 72 hours. Secures 93% down, 93% problem solved. Pretty good, isn't it? And that's, I'm saying 2 weeks. It's been that way for over a week. So really 3 days in, Trump shut the border. Why do we even need James Cuckboy Lankford? Who's now Mr. Trump. He's Mr. Trumpster now. He's voting for all Trump's nominees. He's bent over. And he'll bend over and open up his puppet chute, his anal puppet chute, for anybody as long as he thinks it's going to politically benefit him. That's who these people are on the Republican side. That's who they are. Now, listen, I'm a Republican for life. Always have been. I'm just telling you. There's legit Republicans, which there are very, very few of. And then you have the James Lankfords of the world who are simply puppet for Chuck Schumer. Just jammed his hand. You ever see those veterinarians when they have to take their arm and shove it down a horse or a cow to get those babies delivered? That's what Schumer did with Lankford. Right up his anal puppet chute. Say this, Lankford. We need comprehensive border. You don't need comprehensive border reform. It doesn't need to be reformed. All the laws are in place. Enforce them. That's it. It's like being a Christian. Read the Bible. Do it. That's it. That's Christianity. Well, I don't really agree. Your feelings don't matter. That's what it says. That's the end of it. Don't need comprehensive border reform. The border's broke. You don't need any of it. Shut the border down. Trump did it. He did it in 72 hours. It was a done deal. All right, Nick Sorter video breaking. You can just side by side this one, guys. The Trump administration, this is what you call leadership right here. Leadership. The Trump administration has officially deputized the entire Texas National Guard.
Yes.
This is what you do. Well, I think we needed a comprehensive border reform, according to Cuckboy Lankford. No, we don't need you, James. Go bend over for somebody else. Grab those butt cheeks and spread them for somebody else. We don't need you, James. We need actual leaders like Donald Trump who will deputize the entire Texas National Guard so that the border is freaking shut. Look at all my glorious razor wire. Look at the glorious razor wire. I love the razor wire. Keeps the rapists out. Let's keep the child traffickers out with razor wire. That's what you do. Let's go to the next one. You can side by side this one too, guys. Mr. Guns and Gear video. Southern border's looking a little better now. Would everybody agree? Here's the southern border. You want to cry and cross it? Go ahead. There's the old Rio Grande. There it is. Good luck getting across that. You going to get across that? No, you know, where's it end? It doesn't. You know why? Because it's the military's there now. That's the military. See, those are Marines. You're not going anywhere. That's why the border's closed, folks. It's the border crossing down 93% in 2 weeks. What do you think it's going to be a week from now? Because we aren't even fully positioned. We're not even fully postured yet. Now the cartels are going to try to battle back. They have no chance whatsoever. We're already doing reconnaissance flights inside of Mexican airspace right now. Right now, it's already happening. I'm telling you, it's the truth. That's what's happening right now. Good luck crossing the border. Why couldn't Aaron? Is that comprehensive border reform right there? Did that get voted in by Congress?
No.
You have 47 committees all deciding what you should do with the border.
Nope.
Seven other committee to decide whether to have another committee. No, screw all these people.
Yeah.
This is what you do. Send the Marines in. Border's closed. Thank you. Done deal. All right, let's go to the next one. And wokeness video. Breaking, here's what's actually side by side this one too, guys. Breaking, migrants burn an American flag while waving foreign flags during a protest, of course, in Gavin Newsom's Oxnard, California. But, so you want to stay in America because you think America's, there's no way to even describe it. There's no way to even describe what's happening here. So you're waving a flag of a country that you thought was too detestable to live in and then burn the flag of the country that you want to stay in. That you're so angry about being deported from. So obviously you really want to stay there, but you burn its flag and you wave the flag of the country you don't even consider worthy of you taking a dump in. There you go. This is what's happening. This is why the board, do you want these people in the country? Aaron, do you?
No.
I don't want these people in the country. I don't want them in the country. And Trump's arresting people now too. He's arresting and deporting people who are orchestrating Hamas rallies too. You're in this country and you want to advocate for an organization that routinely chants death to America, you know, you can go get your education elsewhere. And by the way, on your way out, shove it up your own rear end. How you like that? All right, let's go to the next one. This is classic. This one we'll have to play, guys. Lives with TikTok video. Here's one of my favorite people on the planet. And I say in a very facetious way. We're at Lives with TikTok, right?
Yep.
Okay. One of my favorite people, Phil Murphy, governor of New Jersey, a wretched COVID totalitarian caught in mass hypocrisy, and see himself mandated that everybody close their businesses and wear masks, and he gets caught eating out just like Gavin Newsom in violation of his own COVID totalitarian rules and laws. So Lips of TikTok video, New Jersey's Democratic governor, Phil Murphy, says he's harboring an illegal in his home, then subtly threatens law enforcement. Play it for me.
Governor of New Jersey practically daring the agency to come to his own home. Democratic Governor Phil Murphy declared on Saturday that he and the First Lady are allowing someone pursuing legal status to stay at their home. The governor a little vague on this, but the bold admission came at an event during a broader discussion about the policies of the new Trump administration. Here is the governor. Listen.
Tammy and I were talking about, I don't want to get into too much detail, but there's someone in our broader universe whose immigration status is not yet at the point that they are trying to get it to. And we said, you know what, let's have her live at our house above our garage. And good luck to the feds coming in to try to get her.
Pretty interesting. The state's attorney general.
This is so easy, by the way. You don't even need to go in and get her. She's going to leave eventually. And make a point. This is the whole thing. If you're Tom Holman, if you're Kristi Noem, make a point of getting that one. Make a point of getting that one. It's so funny because it's just political theater and virtue signaling. Why hasn't Phil been doing this for the last 30 years? He's been an open border leftist globalist bourgeois elitist for forever, and he's never opened his home before, but now for political theater so that he can check the box of a modern day Democratic Party member, because you will not qualify to run for president, run for governor, unless you make ridiculous stances like this, like wearing a mask, getting 10 vaccinations, believing that a man is a woman is a man, that people don't have a sex at all, whatever it is. You have to be that much of a lunatic to qualify to run for office as a Democrat, which is why they'll never win again unless they change. But why is Phil Murphy suddenly deciding to do this? It's just political theater. It's just virtue signaling. He could have done this 5 years ago. He could have 30 people. If he's multi-millionaire, he could have 30 people living there. Why does he have the one? And now what you have to do with this, Aaron said it, if you can raid Mar-a-Lago, you can raid his house, but I wouldn't even raid it. I mean, we got two ex-cops in this room right now. You just simply wait for that person to come out. They're coming. And when she, I don't care. I mean, she never committed a crime inside the United States after committing a crime and entering the United States. And by the way, he can be arrested now too. That, I mean, and you know, if you really, I mean, how much would it hurt us politically to arrest Phil Murphy? Not at all. Not at all. We need to take bold stances like that instead of worrying about repercussions, because the only people that it would bother would be the people who are never going to vote for us anyway. He can be arrested right now for what he's doing. Absolutely. And he need to make sure that that woman gets arrested for sure. All right, let's go to the border. Now we're going to focus on Canada. Here again, I just want to show you this briefly again. Jack Posobiec on the Canadian border, showing you what the Canadian border wall looks like. The north, what our northern border actually looks like. Play for me.
So this library behind me right here actually straddles the border between the United States and Canada. This behind me is Canada. Here you can see a sign. It says, "Do not enter." That is the border for the entire northern part of Vermont here between the United States and Canada. I can invade Canada with snowballs right now. Perhaps I will. Trudeau, look out.
So I just want everybody to know that's what the border actually looks like in Canada, which there is no border. There's no border wall. There's nothing to keep anybody from going in and out. And that's why Trump threatened the tariffs. And again, he threatens the tariffs to Canada, Mexico, and China, and threatened Panama also with extreme sanctions and maybe even military occupation. Who's caved so far, Aaron? Panama has caved?
Yep.
Mexico has caved?
Yep.
Canada's caved? Yep. What are they? And of course, the leftists are saying, these agreements were already met before Donald Trump did them. Then why weren't they actually implemented?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Justin Trudeau did say that he was going to send 10,000 troops to the border in 2021. And they said, and Canada said this, and Mexico said the same thing, but they never did either one. But lo and behold, now it's actually being implemented. So they could say these agreements were already signed prior to Trump's discussions with the president of Mexico and the prime minister of Canada, but they never implemented them because it was simply so that they could put out a headline saying that Biden has accomplished something. But Biden never actually accomplished anything because none of it was ever actually implemented. Now, here's the thing. People think all the fentanyl comes through the southern border. That's not correct. A huge portion of it comes through the northern border. And I just played the video where there is no wall. There is no obstruction. There's no barrier. So it just flows right across the snow. You can just drive a snowmobile right across the snow. Nobody even knows. There's no border patrol up there either. Not only is there no wall and no obstruction, there's no border patrol in Canada either. Nothing. Nobody there. So this is a Dr. CZ video, fentanyl in Canada. Listen to what Justin Trudeau has done with Canada. And this is why Donald Trump said, you know what? You either shut down your border and the flow of fentanyl coming across the border, killing between 70 and 100,000 Americans per year, or you get a 25% sanction on every single one of your goods. And everyone needs to remember this too. All the leftists are out there. Oh, trade war, trade war, trade war. Really? Okay, trade war. 1% of our economy depends on trade with Canada. 1%. 0.8% of our economy depends on trade with Mexico. Trade war, 1.8% of our economy. Trade war, we're not going to get Canadian whiskey. We don't need Canadian whiskey. We don't need, they have Jack Daniels here. I hate alcohol. I'm just telling you, that's the whole thing. We don't need it. We don't need Canadian lumber. We don't need Canadian oil. We don't need Canadian anything. We have more than they do in every way. We just prop them up via $200 billion worth of us basically through charity buying their goods every year so that they have an economy. 25% of their economy depends on the United States of America. Ours, 1%. Okay, Mexico, 0.8%. So Dr. CZ video, fentanyl in Canada. Play for me.
The results are in on the Prime Minister's radical liberalization of hard drugs. He teamed up with the BC NDP to decriminalize fentanyl, crack, and heroin. He lowered jail sentences for mass producers of deadly fentanyl. And 80% of the fentanyl made in Canada is done so using ingredients that are not even regulated, but come right into our country where they're cooked into that poison, now threatening our trade relationship with the U.S. Will he reverse his radical liberal drug agenda to save lives and jobs?
He's not there to do the work of delivering based on science, based on compassion, based on a public health approach on dealing with the toxic drug epidemic. He is instead continuing to try to score cheap political points on the backs of the most vulnerable. That's not serious. That's not responsible.
What is not responsible is allowing 80% of the chemicals used in fentanyl manufacturing to come in unregulated and legally. What is not responsible is decriminalizing crack, heroin, and fentanyl. And then after you see that it leads to a massive increase in deaths, then 2 weeks ago, he, the Bloc, and the NDP all voted in favor of a committee report to decriminalize fentanyl right across the country at a time when Canadians are dying and our border could be closed. Will the Prime Minister confirm that he has reversed himself and now opposes decriminalization of fentanyl?
What was Justin Trudeau's former career prior to being Prime Minister of Canada? He was a drama teacher. That's it. For 1 year.
That makes sense.
And now, yeah, right. Now, that would qualify to be prime minister. Yeah. Again, that's why he legalizes fentanyl and heroin. That's flowing across our border. Here's another one for you. Big Fish video. 90% of illegals on terror watch lists are now coming through which border, Aaron, our southern or northern? Northern, he wouldn't know.
North.
Yeah, northern border.
Yeah.
90% of the people we're catching on our terrorist watch list illegally entering our country are not coming through our southern border. They're coming through our northern border. Play for me, Brent.
Most of the people who come are involved in smuggling. This video shows attempted human smuggling in New York last year stopped by Border Patrol.
Are the drug cartels behind this?
Some may be, some might not be.
Last fiscal year, Border Patrol apprehended 564 people on the terror watch list. Of them, 484 were encountered on the northern border. The questions are, why here? Why now? Eric says one of the reasons is Canadian foreign policy. Up until a few weeks ago, Canada did not require Mexicans and some other foreign nationals to have travel visas to fly to the country.
For a very minimal fee, they would be able to enter the country as a tourist. Some folks utilizing the ETA program were being arrested here in the United States for illegal entry within 24 hours of their landing in Canada.
Can you send them back to Canada?
Unfortunately, no.
Why they're coming may differ too.
They're trying to find that vulnerability and come into the United States without detection.
Man, you know, listen, we need to just institute a law that simply says we need to deputize as CBP deputies, basically any law enforcement agency that wants to be deputized on our northern border, and simply, you know what, they get caught, send them back to their country, wherever they, not their originating country, the country from which they crossed over from. Canada, Mexico, just send them right back. That's what we need to do. Just let's make things very easy on ourselves. They want to have legal fentanyl and heroin in Canada, and then the traffickers try to come in the United States to be charged with crimes here or whatever, but if they're just a cursory figure, send them right back across the border. Doug Mastriano video, Canadian food companies are moving to the USA as a result of tariffs. Play for me.
Canadian food companies are moving production to the U.S. Trump's 25% tariffs on Canadian imports are potentially taking effect this Saturday, and Canadian food companies say that they can't afford to stay. Flourish Pancakes and Midday Squares, which are two of Canada's fastest-growing food startups, were set to expand their operations here. But with U.S. sales making up most of their growth, they're now looking at Ohio, Wisconsin, and Missouri instead. And they're not alone. A KPMG survey found that nearly half of Canadian businesses are considering shifting their investment and operations to the U.S. It's not just about tariffs. Canada's higher costs, fewer funding opportunities, and a less competitive retail market make it harder for companies to scale. Meanwhile, the U.S. offers cheaper production, easier access to capital, and better retail exposure. If this trend continues, how much more of Canada's manufacturing base will move south?
Democrats can live in whatever delusions they want to live in, and that's perfectly fine. They have the right to do so. But down in their heart of hearts, they have to be thinking to themselves, wow, Trump is effective. I mean, Canada, it's Colin, it's just a Colin Rugg tweet here. Canada caves just like Mexico, promises to send 10,000 frontline personnel to protect the border. I know Trudeau promised it before, but he never implemented it. I just had from Trudeau. I just had a good call with President Trump. Canada is implementing our 1.3 billion. They're implementing now. Why didn't they implement it? This was signed. I don't know what year it was signed in, but the Mexico one was 2021. Not this one. I said this one was 2021. That's incorrect. Mexico one was. But weird, because after 2021, we still had 15,000 illegal crossings per day coming from the southern border after Mexico said they're going to send all those troops. That's weird, isn't it? Because they never actually implemented it. I just had a good call with President Trump, says Trudeau. Canada is implementing our $1.3 billion border plan, reinforcing the border with new choppers, technology, and personnel, enhanced coordination with our American partners, increased resources to stop the flow of fentanyl. Nearly 10,000 frontline personnel are and will be working on protecting the border. In addition, Canada is making new commitments. You got to, you're sitting back as a Democrat. You have to be thinking in your heart, why couldn't we do this? Because you have no courage. You have no intestinal fortitude, and you don't want to.
Yeah.
As a Democrat, you don't care that 70 to 100,000 Americans die of fentanyl poisoning every year. You don't care. Because you're an abortionist at heart. You don't care. You are a corrupt, basically a corrupt transgender murderer as a Democrat. That's what you believe in. You believe in transgender. You believe in lopping off child's body parts. And you believe in murdering people in the womb, in the birth canal, and right after birth. That's who you are. And all of your politicians, all they ever do is speak in Washington, D.C. tropes and language. It's a broken border, a comprehensive border reform. And Trump shuts down the border and reforms the border in 3 days. And you did nothing for 4 years. You reached agreements that were never implemented on purpose, so that you could continue to traffic children into the country, 340,000 of them disappearing into the wind, traffic fentanyl into the country, 100,000, 107,000 Americans dying per year from it, highest levels in history. That's because that's what you actually want, because you as a Democrat are not a believer in the sovereignty of the United States of America. You are buying into the globalist plan for America, which is to transition America into from being a sovereign nation into being a globalist state controlled out of London, out of Davos, out of Glasgow. That's what you want. And a great way to turn a first world country into a third world country is to flood the first world country with third world immigrants who have no adherence and no heritage connection to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's what that is the plan. It has nothing to do with compassion. If it had to do with compassion, then you as a Democrat would be housing all of these illegal border immigrants yourself, just like Phil Murphy suddenly is doing now in 2025. And he's like 70 years old. He's never housed one before. All right, let's shift over to the southern border real quick. Ian Miles Chong video. Oh, you can just side by side this one, guys. It's impossible to beat the cartel when they are as heavily armed. Here's the cartel. As heavily armed as the CJNG, unless you deploy the full might of the U.S. military. This isn't the cartel, but the cartel has this level of armament. Look at that. Oof, that's what the cartel actually looks like. The full might of the U.S. military to take them out. These guys are all former Mexican special forces with training and equipment. I'm not sure what this organization is, but this is who we're going to be battling. This is the level that we have to battle at the border, which I already have my solution, as I always do. I have the solution for it right here. YouTube video. All you need to do is send in my favorite aircraft, and the problem solved. Play it for me, Brent. So all you got to do is send in A-10 Thunderbolt 2 Warthogs and just patrol the border. And then we never see it again. If you guys could go back, Brett, to that Ian Miles Chong video. It's impossible to beat the one we showed right before this one. Yep, because I want to clarify, because Aaron researched for me. I lost my confidence because I see the police lights. This is actually, Aaron, give me that. There you go. This is actually the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, or CJNG, is a Mexican criminal syndicate based in Jalisco and headed for El Mencho. Listen, headed by El Mencho. All you need to do is send in the A-10 Thunderbolt Warthogs and these guys will disappear.
Yeah.
Couple 30 millimeter cannons. It's over. Enjoy. Enjoy. Go to the next one for me. I mean, therefore, I am tweet just showing you it's happening already. President Trump wasn't joking when he said he is going to secure the border. U.S. Air Force intelligence aircraft have entered Mexican airspace as part of a new cooperative effort with Mexico to combat the cartels. Why haven't you done this, Democrats? Why didn't you do this? Oh, because the Democratic Party wants 340,000 kids to be sex trafficked in the United States. That's why. If you're a Democrat, understand what you are actually supporting, just so you know. All right, let's go skip the next one, the Fox News one, Brent, and go to End Wokeness.
Okay.
All right, End Wokeness video, just last one here. I know this wasn't tariffs, but pressure was put on Panama. I'm wondering why Joe Biden can't solve problems like this in 24 hours. Play it for me.
Una cosa importante, que es una decisión que adopté, y se la comuniqué. El memorándum de entendimiento del año 2017 sobre la ruta de la seda, de Belt and Road Initiative, no será renovado por mi gobierno. Eso es así. Vamos a estudiar la posibilidad de si se puede terminar antes o no, pero creo que le toca en uno o dos años la renovación, porque es cada tres. Así que esa iniciativa que se firmó, cuando se firmó, en el tiempo que se firmó, no será renovada por mi gobierno.
So I just want to show, if you're a Democrat, why can't you accomplish this? I mean, you said it was impossible. They've already now withdrawn from the Belt and Road Initiative. What, after 2 weeks? After 2 weeks, and just verbiage used by Trump. Now you have Marco Rubio dispatched to Panama, but it's done. It was a 30-minute meeting with Marco Rubio, and they remove themselves from the Belt and Road Initiative. They withdraw from the Belt and Road Initiative money from CCP. Why can't you do this as a Democrat? Just so you know, it's because it's not what your party believes in. The reason why they can't accomplish it is because they don't want to accomplish it. It's as simple as that. All right, that's it. 10:34. I meant to be done at 10:15. Didn't make it. My wife's watching. Okay, you're right. I think she said 10:36. I got to hurry up because it's 10:34. She'll be right. All right, Rumble Rants. Nate Dad won $50. Thank you so much. Braden McGroin. McGroin Nation, $26. Thank you so much. Nitsua, $99, $20. Peg Joe, $20. CW, $10. Thank you guys so much in the Rumble Rant. Thank you guys so much in the Rumble Chat. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you. See you then.
You are healed. Psalm 103:3. How many of you have a physical infirmity or a sickness? You are healed. Psalm 103:3. It forgives all your sins and heals all of your diseases. That's the end of it. Anybody who teaches you different is a false teacher, including yourself. If your mind is teaching you different, call out your mind and say, false prophet. But that's not what I've been taught my whole life. I was taught, Tom, to show compassion for the sick. Did Jesus do that? No. Jesus healed the sick. He kicked out the compassionate ones and healed the sick. How much more compassionate can you be than to heal them?
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.